I do.
No, I. This is Eileen Heather. No, I don't.
Let me see. Let me see if I can.
I have it.
Yeah. John, you know how to put it on the screen by any chance? No.
Is it in my inbox? I just haven't.
Yes, it's in your inbox.
I've been on the phone. Is it in?
I sent it out. It came to me around 4 o'clock or so.
Okay.
Let me see.
I think I can share it. Hold on, Tom.
Yeah.
Let me see. I just saw this the other day. File. Hold on. Well, I could share a file, but not this. Because I'm looking at my screen, Tom.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I could do it too here.
Share screen. Hold on. I think you, maybe, you can't. Maybe you have to, since you're in a meeting.
Okay, let's see if I can do it. Share screen. Oh, there's you. No, I'd have to put it in a file.
Well, there is a share. Are you using the Zoom app?
Yeah.
If you go to the main section of the Zoom app, there's a little icon that says share screen.
Right.
Do you see that?
Yep, and I just did that, but it didn't. It's not telling me how to get it to there. Oh, hey, wait a second. I mean, if I do this.
Thumbs popping up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, Rebecca's doing it for us.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Sure, but I'm not positive. Does this look right, Heather? Because it looks funny to me, but.
She's on the phone.
It's the right document. No, I'm on the screen as well. I just can't share video.
Yeah, go way back.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, that's
I'm
it.
I'm not sure what's going on.
Go back to the.
Go ahead, Tom.
Let's see. I'm trying to look for page one, which is the May annual update document.
It's the first page.
The first page, not the shortfalls.
Nope. I'm just scrolling through this document, and stop me if it looks like anything you want.
Well, it should be in the beginning, not the end. That's the thing.
Well, that's why I was saying it doesn't look necessarily like the right thing to me. This is the first page.
There's nothing there.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So okay. It may have just opened in a funny application in my...
It's a rich text file.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is the Finance Committee agenda. Is that the right name of the document?
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. I can try opening it in Excel instead. Would that work? Or what would be the best?
No, it's a Word document, so it should be able to open an RTF file. But
I'm going to just go down. This is the only part that has stuff in it.
Yeah, that's for later. We want to just start with the annual from last year.
Okay, in the interim, why don't I just email this to everyone right now?
Oh, that's why it wasn't allowing me to do it because my preferences weren't set up. I think I could do that now, huh?
Did you send it, Heather? Did you send it to our...
Ah, here we go. Yeah, excellent.
There it is.
Okay. Now we can start. So, page one. Wait, is that it?
No.
There we go.
No, that's email with the attachment.
Right.
That's good.
Hide email.
There it is.
That's it.
Okay, Heather, you want to start going through it?
Sure. So the first thing is to, this is where we netted out for 2019. I think these numbers are accurate. They are what we submitted to New York State. As you know, we always get an audit. There's a chance that the auditors will find a discrepancy or two, but I think these numbers are pretty solid. So the first section just is a, basically a confirmation to make sure that when we tie out to our ending fund balance that it makes sense, because you would start with last year's fund balance, add the amount of revenue, subtract the amount of expenditures, and that should be what your entire resulting fund balance is. Now, it's important we've talked about this before, but that's total fund balance, which includes reserves and other restricted funds. When we talk about fund balance generally, when we're talking about it in the budgeting process, or when we're looking to amend the budget, what we're talking about is unassigned fund balance. So if you look at that second set of charts, that second chart there, and you look, you can see that fund balance in total went up by about $284,000, but that's basically entirely because other restricted fund balance went up, and that's largely the tourism money, the tourism board set aside money. And assigned unappropriated also went up dramatically because we had a number of items in the 2019 budget, most noticeably $300,000 alone in just the Stewart's Crosswalk and the traffic study grants. So those were added to the revenue and added to the expenditure, but obviously we haven't incurred the expenditures yet, which means we need to take those expenditures now and put them in what's called assigned unappropriated, because the money are set aside. They're assigned for something, but they're not currently represented anywhere at the end of 2019. And what you did as a council in early 2020 was sign a resolution to put those expenses back into the 2020 budget. Does that make sense? I know it's a little complicated.
No.
Okay. So obviously the thing that we're most interested in is that last line, which is on a, oh, if you want to go back up there for a second, please. Or actually, you're good where you are. So that last line that says FB/unassigned, that's what, when we talk about fund balance, that's what we're all really talking about. That's
right.
The unassigned stuff that we can do something with. And as you can see, it fell by over $436,000 year to year. That's obviously not great, especially wouldn't be great if we were going into a normal year, but especially not great now going into the coronavirus world of finance. So you can also see just below that, that in 2018, we were at 29%. So unassigned fund balance was 29% of the adopted budget. In 2019, it's dropped to 24.3%. Which is a 5.1 point drop, obviously, with that $436,000 decline, and does technically bring us below what our current fund balance policy calls for, which is a minimum of 25%.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on that before we scroll down?
Nope.
No.
Okay. So this section, if you want to go a little bit further down, perfect. So this is the same information, only slightly restated. And the reason why is in 2018, while, yeah, we just talked about that assigned unappropriated fund. In 2018, the only thing that we actually set aside were true encumbrances, and an encumbrance is something that you've made a commitment for in the year, but you don't expect to receive it till the next year.
Mm-hmm.
In 2019, we refined our approach as we should have and included other things that are technically committed. And this is a change. It used to specifically be a line called encumbrances out of the state controller's office, and they since modified it to this assigned unappropriated line, which means now the various things like I talked about, the grant matches, the monies that have to be set aside, held for Stewart's and for the traffic study, any donations, because the donations carry over from year to year because they're committed, any escrow accounts. So all of that is now included in that assigned unappropriated account. So I went back and I took those monies in 2018 and added them in there, so it would be more of an apples to apples comparison on that line. And you can see it's still a substantial increase. Assigned unappropriated is up almost $360,000. But again, almost all of that is the $300,000 of the Stewart's and the traffic study grants. So that does bring the comparison down a little more favorably year to year. So while we're still at the 24.3% of unassigned fund balance, restated 2018 brought it down to 20.8. So instead of a 5.1 point difference, it's a 2.5 drop. Still not ideal, obviously, and but it looks a little better, at least in this comparison. Any questions on that?
Nope.
Okay. So that's where we are.
Okay, you want to take us through April now?
Sure. So this is the stuff that we traditionally report on, and mm-hmm. I've added in being able to do a year-to-date comparison, which I did last month for the first time. So it's a real, no offense, it's a real pain in the butt because it means I have to export all of this data and then put it into a different software program and then run calculations on it because our software doesn't do any of this. But that's fine. So you can see, not surprising, we're 33.3% of the year through. That's January through April. And ideally, you would like to see our versus year-ago numbers and versus budget numbers be roughly similar for these particular things, which tend to be relatively straight-lined. And you can see we're at 22%. And we're ranging from 14% on and off-street parking up to a high of 48% on parking and other permits. But of course, that's the smallest dollar amount by far. And you can see year-to-date versus year-ago, we are basically a third behind in revenue. And right now, just versus year-ago, that's about an $86,000 drop in revenue in just the first 4 months. And really, just probably the last 3 months, because January was pretty normal. Questions on that?
Yep.
Okay, if you want to scroll a little further to get both of those in. Okay, perfect. Same thing for building and plumbing permits. You can see we're about 22% versus ideally what would be closer to 33%. And you can see that year over year, it's actually a 43% decline for the first 4 months versus the first 4 months of 2019. And that's about another additional $21,000 drop in revenue.
Now, Heather, with the relaxation of construction rules, I think there's a lot of permits in this category that have been on hold, and I'm not saying it's going to recover fully, but that should change this month. Or this
I would hope so.
Yeah. Okay. So in other words, even though it's down so low, there's a chance that it'll recover, maybe not to obviously to what we're hoping originally planned for, but it could recover significantly given a backup of permits.
Yeah, and what I've done in these next set of pages is I've actually looked at several different revenue lines that I've made sort of a low-impact estimate and then a high-impact estimate.
These are great. This is what this is what I think the city has been waiting for more than anything. And before I even start, I just want to thank you for doing this, because this is really the information we need most of all. And of course, to remind anybody who's you know, doesn't have the documents in front of them, whatever you hear is these are estimates. This isn't science. So these aren't facts. This is Heather's estimate of a possible low impact, and then she'll go through a possible high impact. Low meaning not hurting us as much. High meaning hurting us much more. Is that fair enough, Heather?
Sure. That is Perfect.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, so we'll probably want to do these things one at a time. So for each one of these, I'm going to go through the first one of what I consider sort of a low impact. And as Tom said, these are just my estimates, no magic to them. And we're certainly, you know, it's probably certainly worth having a discussion about whether we think these are in the ballpark or not, or if there's a third permutation we want to look at. But what you're seeing here, and this will be true for all of these charts, is that the blue line is 2019 actuals.
Mm-hmm.
The solid orange line is 2020 actuals. And then the dotted line is my sort of guesstimate as to how a recovery might look in terms of these revenues. And I pretty much used the same growth rate month to month for all of the different revenues that we're going to be looking at. Obviously, they won't all recover the exact same time in the exact same way, but it was a way to get something on paper and have a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, if you look for the data underneath, under April, which is our most recent set of actuals, you can see that we were 76% below in April. So in this case, I basically took that assumption and I even, you know, you can look at the numbers to see what the difference is. I went from, you know, 40% to 50% to 75% to 95%. And then in the last 2 months, 105 and 110% of a year ago, because we were looking at revenue increases at some point in time. So basically, if we look at it that way, that's what it would look like. And if you scroll down to the next chart below it, so this is, and you'll see this same chart on all of them as well, this is a cumulative. So if we take the assumptions from the month-to-month chart and you just add it up over time, what you would end up here for parking, if that, you know, estimate for May through December was reasonably accurate, we would be looking at approximately a $230,000 decrease in revenue versus 2019. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes. Heather, when you looked at the all things parking, were you calculating the fact that we're going to start meters again in June 1st, and that,
yes,
and that there's going to be the increase as well?
I did.
Okay.
But, you know, that's why they're estimates. So,
yep.
I mean,
yep,
we can certainly do a like super lucky, really, you know, super lucky forecast too, and, you know, with sort of the best case scenario,
right?
Which, you know, I would say this is not the best case scenario. I think it's potentially a realistic scenario, but it's obviously not the best case. The best case is, you know, people take June to figure it all out, and starting in July, everything's back to normal. I think it's unlikely, personally,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, so unless anybody has any other questions on this, we can move to the next one. Okay, so obviously another one that's been impacted is lodging tax. This probably needs some tweaking, frankly, because like I said, I used the same percentage, you know, growth increases month to month for all of the revenues. In this case, it's probably not entirely accurate because we only get paid, well, we get paid the majority of the lodging taxes on a quarterly basis. So, March 30th was our last filing date. And you can see that was a pretty significant drop. And you can see, even though we had some late filings in April, May, and June last year, we have virtually nothing right now. So the real test is going to be in basically the end of July, beginning of August, because that's when the next quarterly filing is. I frankly think these numbers might be a little aggressive just because we're filing in August, but, you know, it's basically been pretty vacant for April and May at least. But anyway, again, something to put on the table for discussion purposes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think the anecdotal experience has been that there's been quite a few rentals going on, but it's better to look at it this way because it's questionable whether those have actually been monthly rentals, which wouldn't pay the lodging tax. And of course, the major payers, the hotels, have been closed, but not the WIC, though. The WIC has been active. So, you know, who knows?
Right. But yeah, but certainly with St. Charles and mm-hmm. with
Rivertown, Barlow, they're all close. Being closed. Right. Yeah. Correct.
And they're obviously, you know, they're the biggest generators of the bulk of the revenue. So.
Right.
Okay, so if we want to scroll down and look at that on a cumulative basis. So if we think that those numbers are relatively accurate, we'd be looking at somewhere in a shortfall of about $155,000 versus the prior year. Questions, comments?
Nope.
Okay, then we can move to the next one. So building and plumbing permits, and Tom, this is what you talked about earlier in this. So again, through April, their actuals, and they did a projection again going up, assuming that toward the end will actually be higher than a year ago, because that was the budget projection. So again, maybe we want to tweak this one and maybe have it be a little more aggressive growth in the projection because it is the first industry that's opening. But, you know, as John said, people are still trying to figure out how it's going to work. So,
right.
You know, and certainly I plan on updating these every month for sure.
Great. That'd be great.
Can I ask a very basic question? What are the implications for the city's function of the projections? Like, what does it control?
It doesn't control anything. It's a piece of information that presumably the BEA and the council would take into consideration when trying to determine what we think the financial fallout of this current situation is and how we want to address it as a city.
Okay. I just didn't know if there was any particular like application of the projection to the budget in some way that I didn't know. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. So if we want to scroll down to the cumulative on that, so if those numbers are relatively accurate, we would be looking at possibly about a $35,000 drop in revenue versus prior year under that scenario. Okay. And then I think the next one is sales tax. Yeah. So sales tax comes quarterly, and I will say right now, PJ Keeler provided a high and a low estimate on sales tax, and his were about $100,000 better than this. So, you know, that may be helpful, but you can see in this case, the only one we have right in right now is the first quarter. And we received $419,000 versus the prior year of $402,000. So it's somewhat higher, and that's mm-hmm. obviously a good thing. But we would have anticipated it being even higher based on our initial budget projection for sales tax. The thing that's probably most disturbing about that, and why you see such a big dip in the second quarter, is that according to PJ, they get the sales tax reports from the state every month, and then they get their portion, and then it's portioned out to mm-hmm. you know, the towns and the other municipalities, including us. So while the first quarter was pretty strong, apparently the month of March dropped to 23%, even though the month was still open for half a month. So that's a pretty big drop. So if March was that bad with only half a month, then I would anticipate April and May will be a greater drop, just because they've basically been closed those entire months. But like I said, this may be a little, and again, I have it rebounding so that we're about 80% in quarter three and about 110% versus year ago in quarter four, assuming that it all rebounds. So if we go down and take a look at what that means for the year as a whole, under that scenario, we would be looking at approximately $265,000 less revenue than prior year. Okay, so the last thing I did, and I did this more as an exercise than something that I think should be taken accurately. But what I did is I took all of our revenue, excluding property tax, because as you all know or remember from last time we spoke, property tax is identified as revenue on January 1st, the entire amount. So we recognize that revenue right away. So it's not really, there's no point in looking at revenue that includes property tax. Property tax does have the issue with property tax could potentially be that even though we have the revenue, we might not actually have the cash, because we don't get the cash until people actually pay the tax bills. But, you know, relative to some other municipalities, you know, it's not so bad to be reliant on property tax, especially when a large bulk of it is paid through people's mortgages and escrow accounts, because the banks are still paying that. So we did see a drop in the amount of taxes that we actually collected for the second quarter payment, but it was not a huge, terrible drop. But that's obviously something we're going to keep an eye on as well. So what I did is I took the same ratios of the same growth ratios, and I applied them against revenues as a total. So that includes every single thing, all the ones that we've already looked at, you know, with lodging tax and so forth, and all the other ones as well. I was just curious to see what the impact would be.
Mm-hmm.
And if that trend held for all of them, it would be a net drop of about $1.3 million. Now, I don't think that's going to happen because although we do have several revenue streams, like the ones we just discussed, that I do anticipate being hit, we also have other revenue streams that I think are going to be pretty solid. Things like pilot payments, things like, I'm hoping at least at this point, the AIM payment, which is a New York State aid and incentive to municipalities. That's $1.5 million right there. So, but when we get to the end of this, I'll show you what I did with that number. That's just like an exercise. All right.
Okay.
So do you want to go through the high side ones now?
Let's do it.
Okay. So let's go back to parking. And I do have a summary at the end. So if you don't want to look at all of these charts, we can just go to the end since you now know how they work. If you don't really want to sit through the next set.
Yeah, why don't we just do that instead of... Because then everybody can look at the charts afterwards. Since we know how to look at them, here, this is a summary right. anyway.
Right.
We don't need to actually see the graphs. John, all the way at the...
Yeah,
there, oh, there you go. There it is.
Okay. So here's the comparison. So so the first number you're seeing there is the non-property tax revenue in the 2020 budget. So out of our approximately $11.7 million, $6.4 million of that is non-property tax revenues. All of the things that we just discussed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at that first column, low impact, that's just what we went through in great detail. So parking, you know, for the year looked like it could be about $233,000 less, permits could be $35,000 less, lodging tax could be $78,000 less, sales tax could be $264,000. So that's a net of about $613,000. And that's just those four revenue streams. So then what I did is I took the number that I got from looking at all of non-property tax revenue, which was that $1.3
million, mm-hmm.
and just, you know, like I said, as an exercise, basically, I took an average between those two and got to 993. So, you know, what I'm saying is on the low impact, there's a range somewhere, probably, maybe, depending on how accurate, you know, the forecasts are. Somewhere between $613,000 and $993,000 that we could be lower than year ago on. So that's a 10 and a 15% decline versus year ago, respectively. Does that make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So if you go over to the next column, this is the high impact one. You can see all the numbers are not surprisingly higher because it's a more aggressive assumption. So in that case, those four elements, added up to close to $1 million. Looking at it across total non-property tax revenues, it was about $1.9 million. So if you took the average of those two, that gets you down to about $1.4 million. So that puts that potential range somewhere between $1 and $1.5 million, which is basically somewhere between 15% and almost 25%. I don't think it's going to be that, but that's sort of where we are right now.
You want to scroll down?
Any questions on that?
Nope.
Okay. So, and then I just threw this in at, just to give you an idea. I went through and I looked at any revenues that were basically more than $5,000 higher than where we were a year ago. And then I looked at expenses and any ones that were, no, I'm sorry. And I looked, these are all revenues. So I looked at any ones that were higher than $5,000 versus a year ago, and then I looked at any ones that were lower than $5,000 versus a year ago. So you can see that, obviously, real property taxes is the bulk of our increase in revenues versus a year ago. Also, the gain from sale of tax acquisition of property, which we didn't have budgeted, that was that finally that sale of 618 State Street. And as I said, the sales tax contribution was up versus a year ago, although not as high as we would have liked it to have been. And we also saw an increase in lodging tax registration fees, probably because of the coming moratorium, I would guess. On the other hand, you can see there's sort of a litany of things that are less than what they were a year ago. It's kind of a mixed bag. A lot of these we've talked about already.
Mm-hmm.
Some I need to look into a little bit more, like waste bags I haven't really looked into yet. But, you know, Front Street we've talked about, the permits we've talked about, parking tickets we've talked about. Refunds of prior year expenditures is just a random thing. There's not a whole lot you can do about that. And state aid court security is going to be like that because we're no longer providing that. So we're not going to get that revenue anymore. So in theory,
didn't we
take it off the list because we weren't anticipating it in the first case, but it's still a significant enough drop that I wanted to note it.
Okay, but we didn't budget for that, right?
Right, that's what I just said.
Yeah. Okay, I wasn't sure. Yeah, so it's not really.
And the other thing that I didn't include on this was grants and donations, because even though it looks like the revenue goes up because of additional grants, it's completely offset by an increase in expenditures to offset it, so it doesn't really count.
Great. Well, this is very thorough, and got to thank you for this, Heather. Mm-hmm. This is fantastic work. I guess the question was, if we ended up with any of those figures, we'd obviously have to hit the fund balance if we don't get some outside assistance. Correct?
Correct.
And that would take the fund... Let's take the worst case scenario. How heavy would the, I guess the impact on the fund balance would take it down to what percentage? Something like 15?
Probably less than that, yeah. I mean, I can tell you really quick. It's, hold on 1 second. But yeah, we're basically at 2.7 now. If we drop by 1.4, that'd be about half. We're at 24 now, so yeah. It's about 12.
Wow.
Yeah. Which means if we had another surge, we'd be tapped out. If there was another lockdown. I mean, the fund balance is partly for an emergency like this, I imagine, but...
Well, I think we're going to have to figure out a way to...
Replenish it.
Well, that, and if we have to draw from it, we also have to look at appropriate cuts.
Right. Oh, well, that goes without saying. That goes without saying. Heather, do you see a scenario other than the mayor has already proposed, 5 to 10% cuts from the various departments? First of all, what would be the impact of that on this projection?
I'm still waiting to get that information from the mayor's office. We spoke about it today, but a lot of the department heads did not send the information to me. I will say that. Off the top of my head, even if every department cut by 10%, you have to remember that the departmental expenses are less than half of the city's expenses.
Right.
Right.
I guess I'm pointing that out. Oh, right, sorry. I was pointing that out because, in the county, they've already talked about 20% cuts, but the county is, I don't want to say bloated, but they have a lot of departments that could easily be cut, unlike the city, which is, we don't have that much that we can cut.
Right. That's true. We've got some very lean departments.
Right.
Well, thank you, Heather. This at least should, I hope it's reported accurately as all estimates and not, the worst case scenario. Oh, that's worth mentioning. I'm not saying it's a great thing. I mean, a positive thing, but it certainly shows that we can endure this if we have to.
For a while.
Yeah.
Not that long. I wouldn't count on a federal bailout.
John?
No.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't know what the state's going to do in that regard if they don't get money from the feds, but it doesn't look like...
Well, we heard... I mean, the governor today, I was talking with Eileen earlier, the governor today... pretty much was just on a rant about how if there isn't some kind of federal assistance, hospitals and schools are going to be hit really hard. And Eileen said, Heather, you might be able to know something about this. If the school system is hit, let's say with a 20% reduction from the state, do they make up that income by hitting local property taxes in some fashion? Can they do that?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, they're probably going to have a good, they do their budget now, basically, and it gets finalized for July 1st.
Right.
So I will not be surprised if there's going to be a significantly large increase, but they can only do so much without having to override the tax cap. But, you know, the voters that come out to vote for the school budget generally always support it. So,
And even if they don't, it's still a high budget. If it fails, it defaults to a fairly high budget anyway.
Right. Sure. Huge. Yeah. And it increases at a higher percentage than either the county or the city every year, which means, you know, to an extent, it ties our hands, because if you're trying to look holistically at the taxpayer that lives in Hudson and you know they're being burdened with these extreme increases with the school tax, that's even less, you know, less comfort in us trying to do the same thing. And I firmly believe for the last, you know, 8+ years that the city's hands have been somewhat tied in terms of it being able to increase taxes to an extent that we probably need to, because they're already getting, you know, and the other thing I would point out, whether these are high or low estimates for 2020, keep in mind that in 2019, when everything was fine, we took a big hit. So, you know, somebody asked me after I'd been in this job for about a year, so it was around 2015, how things were looking. And I said, oh, I think we're going to be good till, like, you know, 2018, 2019. And I hate to say it, but it looks like that was relatively accurate. I mean, you know, we continue to increase expenditures at a rate that far outpaces our ability to increase revenues, and it's going to eventually catch up with us. So that, to me, is the single biggest question that needs to be addressed, and I sure don't have an answer for it.
Well, thank you, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
Once again, this is great work, and it'll help the city understand where we stand, because, you know, a lot of people have been asking, and you have the information. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us. There's a couple other items, fellow. Oh, wait. If the public has any questions for Heather, please go to the chat room and raise your hand if you know how to do that. I'll try to. I only see one person live. Okay, doesn't seem to be any public questions, so we'll move along to some other items. There are a couple agenda items for tonight's meeting that we're going to pass by the committee before we bring them up tonight. They're not really controversial. First of all, we have, let's see. Oh, the question came up about that money for... where was it? The sewer pump. No, that's not it. Oh, the fund transfer, the matching money for to proceed with the solar crosswalk. Eileen, you might remember it said in-kind funds, and the question was, if it's in-kind funds, why do they need $15,000 from the general fund? Well, apparently, according to Rob, that was just a... It wasn't really in-kind funds. It was a $15 match, or whatever you want to call it, $15,000 contribution from the city.
So it can't be met with in-kind.
Correct.
Okay.
The other thing was, let's see. Oh, the DPW wants to borrow a loan from the general fund for the sewer pump stations, and that, of course, is completely refundable. It's a heavy bit of money, roughly around $600,000, but it's completely guaranteed.
From the federal government?
No, from the state.
No.
From the state. I believe it's CDBG money. So it's, you know, I don't think
it's been allocated.
I'm sorry, John. What?
It's been. I mean, What's the, so that's money that state's already allocated to pay back the loan?
Correct.
Do that?
Correct. Okay. And lastly, unless you want to discuss those two, we're wondering how you feel about, you know, we have parking meters are going to come back in on June 1st. And it was requested by a number of people, including the mayor and Heather, and maybe not Heather, but that we no longer limit it just to Warren Street, but to all the metered streets. So everybody feel okay about that? Because it's going to go to the entire council later on, unless you think otherwise.
Yeah, I do. This, I mean, I sure do.
So we've already approved the increase to 50 cents, but now we're going to extend it to the side streets as well, not the lots. The lots will still remain 25 because, you know, we're still trying to get people into the lots.
Tom, yes. I'm sorry. Could I just take this back a step?
Sure.
If the sewer project is going to look to borrow from the general fund and then reimburse, Heather, if I remember correctly, sometimes those reimbursements are long time until we get them back. And I'm just thinking with the fund balance conversation that we had, I'm just wondering if the you know, the repayment period is as slow as it used to be.
Well, I think who knows, right? Who knows what New York State's going to be doing? They've got their own issues. It's not really an issue of fund balance. It's an issue of cash flow and whether or not we have enough cash that we can basically, you know, lend it out and wait for reimbursement. I think the project is supposed to be pretty quick. So that's always a plus in terms of being able to get the documents submitted and reimbursed. So, you know, I've spoken to Rob about it several times. I guess my opinion was, we can't put everything on hold now. We will get the money back at some point. I think we have enough cash that we can, you know, that we can pull it off. So, you know, I haven't signed it because I haven't been into City Hall, but I would have signed it.
Okay. I have a quick question. That's something that we couldn't borrow money to do. That's not a bond. Because of the nature of the project, that's not something that the city could go out and try to get money lent.
No, we will do that because there's a big, not a big, but there's like a 40% city match. So the whole project is 600 and something, but we're only going to get like 300 and something back from it. The issue is multifold in terms of trying to go out and do that borrowing now. One is obviously the muni markets are not looking really good right now because all the local municipalities are having the same issues that we are. So I don't think there's a huge demand right now in the market, which means that either we might not get anyone to take the financing or it might be at a high rate. The second issue is we actually have about six different capital projects that we're looking at. And it would be far more beneficial to bundle them together and to go out with a single offering, because number one, you get a better lower rate because it's larger. Number two, you get more people interested in it. And number three, the cost to go out on the marketplace are not insubstantial. It can be, you know, 50 grand a pop. And sure, you can build that into, you know, the amount that you borrow, and you do. But still, you know, I'd rather spend 50 grand once and get five capital projects sorted than spend 50 grand for each little individual project like this one.
Well, yeah, so, I understand. I just was wondering in terms, since interest rates are so low, that even if there is problems in the municipal market in terms of borrowing and demand, that's still, how, you know, what we're going to do in this, right, I guess, is the general question.
Yeah, and I did speak to... Yep, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. And you know, I have communicated with our financial advisor, who's the one that, you know, gives us insight into what's the market looking like. And, you know, I explained that we have these different projects and, And she thought that if we could, in fact, basically do what we're doing right now, which is to loan the money and then borrow at a greater amount later in the year, that would be a better strategy. So,
and Heather,
just me thinking that.
Just to clarify, you said we're contributing $300,000, but those come from the water and sewer funds, correct? Or the sewer fund?
Just from the sewer fund, correct. Sewer fund. So what will happen is eventually we will go out on the market and we will put out a bond, and then that bond will be divided up based, the debt service will be divided up based on, you know, how much different entities have borrowed.
Right.
And then the sewer fund will be responsible for paying their portion of that debt service out of the sewer fund.
Got it.
So the only thing we're talking about here is just the cash loan.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Any questions from the public? Put them in the chat room. Put up your hand. I don't see anything. Well, I'm not sure what that means. Somebody just clapped. put clapping hands.
I guess that was us.
He's trying to ask a question.
You think that's what that means?
No, I don't know. Maybe he's excited.
Is that a question? John? John Kane, is that a question?
Yeah, actually, I did have a question. I'm sorry. I think it could probably be assumed that I'm never clapping my hands. When you guys are looking at open streets over the summer, I know that this is kind of a medium to long-term project, but there's a lot of parking meters on Warren Street. Mm-hmm. If you close off Warren Street, I'm assuming you're going to lose access to those meters.
Right.
Is that part of projections? Is there a plan to get that revenue back?
I'm not understanding the question. There's no immediate plan to close Warren Street that I know of. And there's been some proposals.
There has been some proposals. Are part of the proposals moving parking somewhere else so that you still can make up that revenue?
I haven't. Nothing's been brought to the council yet, so I don't know.
Okay.
And ultimately, that wouldn't, I don't think, be our decision. It really would be up to the mayor.
This is Heather. Just one quick comment, because I was trying to direct somebody to the document that I provided, and I don't see it listed under the regular meeting minutes. Am I missing something?
Which document?
The agenda.
Mine.
Yeah.
No, not the agenda.
You mean the
thing that I just...
Are you talking about... I'm sorry. Oh, you mean the document we just went over?
Correct.
No, but I can certainly edit before the meeting.
Okay.
So that everybody gets to see it. Anything else then? And I guess we're done. Thank you all.
Rebecca has a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see Rebecca. Oh, there you are.
Yeah, this is just like a little bit of a general question about the fundraising, that goes on for the city, just like whether... the finance committee is involved in, I don't know, the process at all of that, or like, do they ever?
What do you mean by fundraising?
I mean grant writing. I'm sorry.
No, we all are. We all are.
Okay, so it doesn't really go to the finance committee.
I mean, if we get the process done properly this time, we'll have input, and you can come up with ideas if you want to research them. Then we propose them to the grant writers, and the grant writers will come to the council before they submit any grants.
So I guess the question that I
Proposals,
have is, like, how do we find out just what they are working on currently, or what are, like,
they told us last meeting and sent us a memo about some of it, and you're free to contact them anytime you want. I mean, if you want to know what they're working, I mean, they just completed a grant, not a huge grant, but they just completed an application for an AARP grant that would aid us with all our communication issues, and it's kind of COVID related. And that's, you know, a small grant, but it's, on the other hand, members of the council have sought out grants on their own in the past. You know, Cornell Cooperative has grants available, I mean, you have to, I guess you have to just do it. You have to explore it on your own to a degree. Or you could ask them where to look. They're mainly concerned with both the CDBG grants and the CFA grants, you know, the state grants. And those, what those grants cover, you can find online pretty easily.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that help?
Yep.
Okie doke. With that, this meeting, oh, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Thank you, Eileen. A second?
Second.
And with that, we'll say we all agree to adjourn. Goodbye, all. See you later at 7.
See you later.
Yikes. Oh, boy.